Tango Tango Papa 2033, April 2nd, 2019.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from near a small town in Alabama. It's with the odd, kind of odd name of Brilliant, Alabama. So, anyway, I have been home for, I was home for several days. I came back to work yesterday afternoon. So now I picked a load up in Carthage, Missouri last night, and now, so I'm on my way to deliver it to Monroe, Georgia, which is somewhat south, well, mostly west, maybe south a little bit, somewhat south and east of the Atlanta area. So it'd be kind of out, you could consider it sort of out on the eastern, southeastern fringe of Atlanta, or the eastern fringe. So in any case, I was fairly busy while I was home. One of the things I did, I had to clean my bedroom out of some of the furniture that was in there, including the bed. The bedstead, the headboard, and the metal frame, some other odds and ends. So I cleaned that out, and I took that to, most of that stuff went to Goodwill. A little bit of it went out to the shed, and then plus I threw in a couple of other things. I had a couple of floor lamps, one of which was in the shed, and one that came out of the house that I didn't ever use and I didn't want anymore. Some other odds and ends. So I was able to, Goodwill, as I said before, makes, or it could be the Salvation Army or any store like that, makes a good way to kind of get rid of stuff, and then, hopefully they can, if it's in decent enough shape, Goodwill is able to sell it at a, and make a profit off of it, and help the to help the people that they're trying to help. So I was glad to kind of get rid of that stuff, because I have absolutely no use for it again in the future, and so therefore might as well be rid of it as opposed to just piling it up somewhere, taking up space and, gathering dust and God knows whatever else. So I got the bedroom kind of cleaned out, and then they brought the furniture they brought that on Thursday, the new bedroom furniture. So they brought that, and I got that all set up, and I'm very happy with the furniture. I did post a couple of pictures of it on Facebook, so you may or may not have seen it if you're friends with me on Facebook. And I haven't been posting much to Facebook lately. I've just kind of more or less just naturally kind of stepped away from Facebook. I'll look at it once in a while, but not very, it's just mostly in the reactions to what I post. And I don't spend a whole lot of time going through the Facebook news, so-called news section or whatever they call it, like I once did. And so I just, I don't know. It's mostly a lot of the Facebook stuff is just, it's kind of a waste of time. And it's not only is it a waste of time, but it's actually kind of toxic, and I'll talk a little bit more about toxic people, toxic situations, But it's mostly toxic people that make the situations toxic. So, but I'll talk about that a bit more in a while. And I talked about that a little bit in the last podcast. So, got the furniture set up. I also hired through, there's a website called homeadvisor.com, and I'm sure there are other websites that do similar things. But, so I hired this woman via homeadvisor.com to, clean my house, a so-called deep cleaning. And I won't lie, it was pretty expensive. She was pretty expensive, but she did a great job. I have to admit that she did a very good job. She spent like 8 hours there, so that might give you an idea. She spent 8 hours kind of cleaning up the house, and she, as I say, she did a very good job. It was pretty expensive. I'm not going to say how much. But, you know, so now that the thing is clean, I think I can keep it clean. Provided that I don't end up with a bunch of relatives sort of using my house as a sort of a party house. They've, you know, and that's happened a number of times in the past. Oh, Tom, we'll go to Tom's house. Tom's got a big house. We'll just use your house. We'll use Tom's house. Maybe not. How about not? So I got it all cleaned up, and if I am left to my own devices, I can keep it clean. And I plan on keeping it clean. So, but it, you know, the thing had just over the, you know, a period of years had kind of gotten out of control, and it was, you know, I just didn't have enough time to really keep it, you know, to clean it up myself, you know. And so now the thing's clean. I'm pretty happy with it. And so I've still got more things that I want to get rid of, and, if, you know, more things that I want to kind of straighten out and maybe, you know, redo to a certain extent. But right now I'm pretty happy with it. I've still got to clean the outside. I need to spray the outside down with, there's a product that you can buy at the Home Depot or Lowe's, either one probably, and maybe some other places. It's called Jomax, J-O-M-A-X. It comes in a, like a gallon plastic container, like you'd buy a gallon of oil. It comes in a gallon plastic container. And so you mix this Jomax with, I don't remember the parts, but how much, but you mix it with bleach, just ordinary bleach like Clorox or just any generic bleach that you do for laundry, as well as a certain amount of water. And you put that, you mix that in a, one of those inexpensive pressure sprayers that you pump up, and then you just spray it on the any kind of siding. Now, my house happens to have vinyl siding, but you can spray it on there. You spray it on decks. You can spray it on painted surfaces, regular painted surfaces, like a normal, if you had a house that had a wooden siding, then you could, as I understand it, you could spray it on there, or even metal siding. And it just, it devours the accumulated fungus that loves to especially grow on the north side of a lot of houses, although it'll grow on other parts too, but really likes the north side for some reason. And you see moss type stuff or fungus type stuff growing even on the north side of trees often, if you get out in the woods and you can see that. So, but it just eats that stuff right off of the vinyl, you know, certainly it eats it right off of the vinyl siding. And you don't even have to rinse it after, they say to rinse it afterwards, but you don't even have to, you know, because it's just, it's magic. You spray that stuff on there, you know, and of course, one of those pump-up pressure sprayers is not, you know, doesn't have much pressure. So it's not that, it's just kind of like squirting it on there in a sort of a mist, kind of a rough mist, and then kind of getting it wet with that stuff, and then you just wait a few minutes and it's just magically gone. The stuff tends to go for a few seasons before it before the moss, inevitably it's going to grow back. You know, the fungus or the moss or whatever it is some sort of a fungus. It's going to grow back. If you wait a couple, 3 years, it's going to be back. So it's sort of a never-ending task, but people try to do that with pressure, with a regular pressure sprayer to get rid of it, and that doesn't do as well. It may appear that it gets rid of it, but it's going to come back faster. The Geomax actually kind of kills the stuff off, so at least in my experience. So I need to do that, and I may, I don't know, if I don't have time to do it myself when I'm home, I may go ahead and hire someone through that homeadvisor.com to do that as well. Because it was really nice, even though it's expensive, it was really nice just getting my house cleaned up just all at once. One day and it's clean. And really gratifying, I have to say. So I was fairly busy while I was home, and then then I came back to work, and so now, like I say, I'm on my way to deliver tomorrow at Monroe, Georgia. I have to be there at 5 p.m. Eastern time, so I'll have to leave here probably by about, 10, 11, 12, 13, 1, 2, 3... I'll leave here I'm in Central Time in Alabama, so I'll leave here maybe by about 10, and then that will allow enough time to get over to, around the Atlanta area and give me a little bit of wiggle room as far as if there are any traffic problems or what have you that I might run into. Speaking of traffic problems, before I got home, about a week ago, I was up in, so this would have been about a week and a half ago, I was up in, the West Virginia Panhandle. I guess that would be considered the Panhandle portion of West Virginia. It's a long Interstate 81 between, you cross from Pennsylvania, if you're on Interstate 81, you cross from Pennsylvania into Maryland, and then there's just a kind of a panhandle sliver of Maryland that you cross, it's about, 15 miles across or something like that. Then you cross into West Virginia, and that's about 15 miles or so across, and then that crosses into Virginia. So I was on my way to Virginia, just the very northernmost part of Virginia off Interstate 81, the place I was going to. So I was within, 10 to 15 miles of where I was going, where the load delivered. And it was after 10 o'clock at night, so there wasn't a whole lot of traffic. There was traffic. It had been raining and drizzling and, kind of all day long. So I was I had time, so I was kind of taking it easy. At times I was going 45, 50, 55 miles, no more than about 55 miles an hour. So it was about 10 o'clock or a little bit after at night. And so that part of West Virginia actually has pretty decent roads. You got three lanes going north on Interstate 81 and three lanes going south. I was going south. I was in the far right lane, just kind of taking it easy. It wasn't raining really hard. It was drizzling hard enough that everything was just super, super wet. Because if it rains hard, then you get the effect where the water can't run off the roadway fast enough, and then you get into the real hydroplaning situation. So in this case, it was just really wet. So I was driving along in the right lane, maybe going about 50 miles an hour. I'm not exactly sure, but probably about 50 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, there was this car in front of me that was spinning. You know, he's, you know, kind of spinning out, I guess is what people would call it. You know, so he'd lost control of the car and it was spinning. And it was, you know, I was headed straight for it. You know, so I immediately reacted. You know, and it wasn't, you know, without even thinking. I started moving towards the center lane, you know, applied some brakes. I didn't slam on the brakes because it was wet. But I did apply some brakes, and I started moving to the left immediately. Just an instant reaction. So I started moving towards the center lane. Well, that car was, at that point, as it was spinning, it was moving backwards, and it was moving into the left, you know, kind of in front of me as I moved to the left, into the left lane, or the center lane. It was moving to the center lane, and so I kept on moving to the far left lane, and somehow I missed it. So I don't know. I think the car, as far as I could tell, ended up in the breakdown lane on the right, because there was, on this particular stretch of roadway, there's a breakdown lane on the left, you know, and then you have the center divider barrier, concrete divider barrier, and there's a breakdown lane on the right. And then you got the three lanes going south. I mean, same thing for the northbound. So, you know, somehow I missed it. And so I, you know, after I was past that, I turned on my turn signal and moved to the center lane and then kept on and moved to the right lane and kept going on to my destination. But of course, when something like that happens, you immediately get a shot of adrenaline, you know, like a giant shot of adrenaline. And after that, I was kind of wired, probably for about 24 hours. I don't think I slept at all that night, just because of the adrenaline effect. You know, and I got to, you know, it's pretty remarkable if you think about it, that your body, your pancreas is able to instantly jack you up like that, you know, with that fight or flight hormone, adrenaline. some people seek after adrenaline rush, so-called adrenaline rushes. I would rather avoid them if I could. That is pretty unpleasant to be jacked up like that, you know, and it, as I say, it took at least 24 hours or maybe even more before the effect of that was completely gone. But I don't know what that guy did. I guess theoretically he could have blown a tire or something. But I think it was much more likely that he either jerked the wheel, or even more likely than that, he might have, pushed the accelerator to the floor or something, and it spun out. But he did something that, obviously, you know, I think he did something that he shouldn't have. But, you know, blowing a tire, I don't think that, you know, I guess theoretically that could cause somebody to spin out, depending on how they reacted as they were driving their car. But so I don't know what happened, but I know people do spin out sometimes just on a wet road. But boy, it scared me, and it certainly ended up with a giant shot of adrenaline, and that could have been a major accident, you know, and people could have died. So, but as it is, nothing happened, and was able to just keep right on going, and that was that. So, I also have a file from Joel that we'll get to here in a while. I wanted to talk a little bit more about kind of toxic people, to a certain extent, toxic situations. So you could have toxic people, places, and things. Now, the world is kind of full of toxic people. There, you know, a lot of people are toxic, including me. You know, I'm probably toxic. Some people probably find me toxic. It's possible. You know, it's very possible. But the world is kind of full of toxic people, so what do you do? You know, you don't want to resent the toxic people. That's a mistake. Terrible mistake to resent toxic people, because then that just makes you take on the toxicity. And it sort of prevents them from ever having to see themselves, see that they're really toxic. You know, and then you think, well, I know this person can be toxic, so I will, I still want to be friends with them, so I'll avoid the toxicity. I'll just somehow manage their toxicity. Well, does that really work? Not necessarily, because especially when they just keep doing the same thing over and over again. But I think it is possible to manage it once you realize, especially if it's relative, you can manage it by, you know, ultimately you just have nothing to do with them, even if it's a relative. And I've got a relative like that I, you know, pretty much have nothing to do with. There are other ones that you just see occasionally, and then, you know, you can manage that. And there are, you know, and you have people, you have friends that it's best if you just see them in little slices and don't become too familiar with them. You know, familiarity ends up kind of breeding contempt. So if you kind of, I find with some people, if I sort of keep the exposure down, and it kind of remains a positive exposure. But then if it, too much exposure to them, then they start maybe becoming a little bit manipulative, because that's usually the form the toxicity takes, is that they're manipulative. So with some people, the best thing to do is, even if you're able to limit the exposure to them, limit the amount of information that you give them, you know, because they'll, you know, I've got people that will sort of pretend that they're, you know, kind of being nice and conciliatory, and then all of, you know, kind of get me to lower my guard, and then I give them too much information, and then all of a sudden they pounce. So the first time they do it, was that nice for them, you know? But then when the second time they do it, whose fault is it? If it's the second time or the third time, whose fault, who do I blame? I blame myself for falling, because I know what these people are capable of, and I know that they're not going to change. So you can manage, especially if it's a relative or close, you know, a friend. But it could be, you know, especially if it's a relative that you know, this toxic, you just kind of cut them off, you know, and then you don't give them enough, so that they're able to kind of perform their toxic, you know, their typical toxicity, you know. And if it's, you know, in the case of news media, it's also toxic. It's best there just to cut it off. And sometimes with people, that's the case too. You know, you just cut people off. Some people you are beyond redemption. Why do you keep kind of hanging around people like that, even though they sort of worm their way back in? In some cases, I think it's best probably just to end it. Just kind of cut the whole thing off and say, that's that, we're done. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Because they're obviously not going to change. But, you know, people can be very toxic. And so it's best, like I say, in the case of the news media, just cut them off. Because those people, you know, that's a case where people are extremely toxic. and they're actively trying to spread their toxicity. Whether they realize it or not, they may not even think it's toxic. You know, a lot of people think that they're, in their own minds, they're delusional, and they think they're trying to help or whatever. And, in the meantime, oftentimes they're being jerks. So, and at the same time, I like looking at myself and, do I do that? Or do I, manipulate people that way? Hopefully not, but, I'm always on the lookout for my own motivations and my own behavior. Because sometimes my behavior is a surprise. Well, kind of like that incident that I just spoke of that happened about a week and a half ago with the car spinning in front of my truck and I was about to hit it. That my behavior was a kind of a surprise because I reacted. I didn't think, I reacted. Fortunately, the reaction avoided any kind of accident. But I reacted. There was no thought involved in that. It's kind of a sobering sort of experience. So oftentimes, behavior can be that way. We react without thinking. But even so, it's still good. It's a good idea if you find yourself reacting in a certain way. It's a good idea to examine, why did I react that way? Especially if it's with people, interactions with people, and not simply things. So, but there are a lot of toxic people in the world, and especially when it comes to politics, they're just going insane, especially on the left. I've been paying very, very little attention to what's going on politically. But of course, the Mueller report came out, and predictably, the left is very upset with it because it didn't fulfill their fantasy that it was going to take Trump out and prove collusion or whatever with the Russians. Trump was, colluding with the Russians, and Mueller was going to prove it. And then, of course, there was no collusion, so there's nothing to prove. So now they're going insane. But in the meantime, there's going to be, I still think a lot of them are going to end up in jail. The people that conspire, certainly the people that conspired to come up with this, this entire narrative that Trump got in because he colluded with the Russians. He was able to become president because he colluded with the Russians. Russians interfered with the election and elected the unelectable Donald Trump. Well, a lot of them are going to go to jail. Justice moves extremely slowly. When you get that level of justice, it moves very slowly, and so I think that I still think a lot of them are going to end up in jail. Of course, there's a lot of people that wish it happened a long time ago, but it's going to happen. Just be patient. In any case, I think I'll go ahead and play Joel's comment. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom, this is Joel. Listening to your latest that just came out not too long ago. when you're talking about Alex Trebek and pancreatic cancer. It also happens that pancreatic cancer happened to have got Steve Jobs too. His diagnosis was, I think, within less than a year, and he was gone. So, I wish nothing but the best for Alex. But how can you go through all those stages and not know it? And I think getting to it in the show, and that is that these scans insurance companies won't pay for to tell that well in advance. Now, granted, they can also tell other things too. Like it's been a while since it came out, but there was an episode of it was a sitcom, but it was one of those sitcoms that rarely would not just be funny, but also have some good poignant points in there. And that's Scrubs. Came out late 90s, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, and it's the full series is available on Hulu, by the way. But one of the episodes, and I forget which one, the chief of medicine there, who, all intents and purposes, the chief of medicine is the main medical leader in the hospital, and he wanted to start selling full body scans. And Dr. Cox, who was that guy was played by John McGinley. Love that. I love all the stuff he's been in. He's also was one of the Bobs in Office Space. Anyway, he was against it, and one of the reasons was that sometimes you find things that they're not life threatening, they might worry people, and not necessarily worry people, you know. So that's kind of one of the reasons why you wouldn't want to get one. So, but I think the full body scans are good. I just think that anything that's found in them, the doctor has to bring that to the patient and says, this is something to worry about, this is not, and here's why. Yeah, and probably the biggest thing with our medical industry now is that what we need to push our doctors to do is to give us clear, concise answers on everything from vaccines all the way up. So that's one thing. I'll separate this out into another comment.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. So that reminds me, I need to tell you my surprising CAC scan results score. Kind of shocked, but anyway, yeah, that's the, when a CAC, the guy first got the idea and he first started, when it was first available, the guy got the idea for a CAC, guess when it was? That was like late 60s, early 70s. That's when the guy was developing it for the CAT scan. You do it with a CAT scanner. Of course, it was a higher radiation, but that's when they got the idea. The guy came up with the idea of doing a scan for calcium in the arteries, so-called hardening of the arteries, and it's a great predictor of what your heart attack risk is. And so for years and years and years, for some weird reason, medical groups argued against the idea of a CAC scan. They argued against it because, in their main argument, one of the main arguments was that, it may tell you, it may be a great predictor of heart disease, but it doesn't tell you what to do about it. What? Huh? I want to know. Because how do they do it otherwise? They guess, or that maybe they do an angiogram or something. I want to know. That's why I got the CA. That's what got me interested in the first place. I want to know. Am I at risk of a heart attack? And if I am, I better damn well I want to know it so I can do something about it. Why be ignorant of it? So that the idea that, it might worry people. Well, about 30% or let's say one third of the time, close to 1/3 of the time. The very first symptom of heart disease, full 30% of the time, the very first symptom of heart disease is that someone has a heart attack and they die. And that is the very first symptom that they have heart disease. 1/3 of the time. Now, you want that? You know, let's say you have a group, a room full of 100 people. You know, on average, depending on the people, the group, if they're just normal people and they're not, and of course, the larger the group, the more likely it is. 30 of those 100 people, you know, of the people of that one group of 100, or let's say it's 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000, let's say a stadium full of people to make it even easier. Of the people that have that are diagnosed with heart disease, 30% of those people, the first symptom of heart disease is that they drop dead of a heart attack, and there's no saving them. They're gone. And a CAC scan would have been able to detect, maybe not all of them, but many of them, ahead of time, and kind of alerted them. So why not, and it's an inexpensive scan, why not use that? So, on to my own CAC scan result. And of course, I had the full body scan. So, I was kind of surprised. I was sort of, I haven't lived the cleanest, so-called cleanest life. You know, I'm 63. Tomorrow's my birthday. I'll be 64. Happy birthday to me. Be 64 tomorrow, April the 3rd, 2019. So I haven't lived the cleanest life. I've spent a fair amount of my life overweight. Kind of knowing that I was eating the wrong things, like we all do, etc., etc., etc. So I was didn't know what the score would be. Now, if you look into CAC scans, most of them come out, they'll say that the best you can possibly do, and they divide people up by various age groups, the best you can possibly do is have a score of 0, meaning you have no calcium deposits anywhere in your heart or in your arteries. And then, if you have a score of 1 to 1,000, your risk starts going up. Now, I don't have the chart in front of me, so, but it's easily, what was that? It's easily looked up. But if you have a score of 1, then, obviously your risk goes up. And then it goes up, up and up and up and up, maybe to 1,000. And of course, the older you get, the more likely it is that you're going to have a score. And if you do have a score, you want to, it's a good idea to figure out what to do to keep that score from increasing. Because it can increase very rapidly in some cases. So if you have a score of 0, you have a fairly low, pretty low chance of having a heart attack anytime soon. So, my score was a shocking 0. It was 0. I was really surprised. I was expecting something. I didn't know what to expect. Didn't really have any expectations one way or the other. I'm kind of contradicting myself, aren't I? I thought I didn't, but it was 0. So that's kind of interesting, that it was even though I haven't lived the best life, it was 0. So, so there you go. So those were the CAC results, and so I'm pretty happy with that. But I do think that it, you know, I would rather know than not know. If, you know, if I've got a problem, I want to know about it. I would rather know about it than not know about it. You know, and the idea that you're, oh, you're just going to worry somebody needlessly. Well, you know, really? I guess some people are going to be, you know, they're probably going to be worried anyway. If they're that easily worried over something, then that's not going to be the thing that, you know, that's not going to be the only thing that's causing strife in their life. So anyway, we'll move, you know, so, but before, you know, before we move on to the rest of Joel's comment, the next comment, so Alex Trebek, you know, I don't know, I haven't heard anything more, and I don't really think they've announced anything more about his stage 4 pancreatic cancer, but that is usually when it's found out, unless someone's getting a full body scan, or they happen to get a scan for some other reason, and you know, and then the tumor would show up and be diagnosed early, be picked up early. That's generally when it's discovered, when it's stage 4, because in stage 1, 2, and 3, there are no symptoms. The pancreas, depending on where the tumor is, the pancreas seems to be functioning normally. And then all of a sudden it's stage 4, meaning that it's metastasized and it's really serious. You know, and with pancreatic cancer, people don't, you know, when it's stage 4, the prognosis is pretty grim. So, but that's the way some cancers are. They give no indication that they're present, and they can be with pancreatic cancer, it's actually present for a few years in many cases, but no symptoms. People think they're perfectly healthy. They're making their trip to their, maybe every 6 months or a year, they're making their trip to the doctor, and he's, you know, giving them a clean bill of health, and yet they have this time bomb going on. So if the technology exists, I would rather know than not know. That's all. You know, some people don't want to know. Fine. You know, maybe they're, you know, that's fine. But I would rather kind of know than not know. Kind of helps you plan. You know, although any of us could die in the next minute. You know, you could drop dead tomorrow. It happens all the time. It doesn't really matter how old you are either. There's a lot. You look at the, you know, look, I was going to say look at the newspapers, but, you know, just look in the news. Read the obituaries. There's a lot of people, there's a fair amount of people that drop dead for various reasons at pretty young ages. So it's not necessarily an old folks thing. So, but that can happen to any of us. But I would rather know, you know, as opposed to it just remaining a mystery. So, anyway, on to Joel's next comment.
The next is it did get a decent bonus, a good enough bonus. So what I'm probably going to be doing Friday on my lunch break is I'm going to go probably to Best Buy because it's probably the closest store to me. And I'm going to purchase a Surface Pro 6. I'm going to go for the Core i7 version with 16 gigs of RAM and a 512 gigabyte SSD. And I'm going to buy the pen and I'm going to buy the keyboard. All right. Probably blue or red. I haven't decided which color. It might depend on which ones they have. Not that the color matters that much, but I do want to say that, you know, I'd like it if it was all black, because I am probably going to get the black version of it. But the black keyboard on the Pro 6 doesn't have Alcantara, which is that soft leather-like kind of surface on it. So, I already have Adobe. I'm already a Creative Cloud subscriber, so I'll probably be putting that on it. And any kind of art kind of apps, because one of the reasons I'm getting a pen is because, like you, I kind of enjoy to draw, and that's one of the things I always did on my Note when I had the Note. When I discovered the Note, it's just too small to really be nice for art. And I really didn't use a pen that much, so I probably won't ever get a Note again. Unless I just get it. If I get a Note again, it'll be just for the screen real estate. But right now, I'm liking my Pixel 2 XL.
Thanks again, Joel. So I, of course, I have a Note, and I plan on continuing to get Notes as long as Samsung produces them. And sometimes I don't use the pen much, and other times I do, and but I like having it as opposed to not having it, because I did, after the Note 7 fiasco where they recalled them all, I ended up with the an S7, I think, and it was an okay phone, but I really did miss the pen and having that pen, even though I didn't use it a whole lot. I missed it, so whenever I got back into the Note series, I've been, Note 8, and now the Note 9, very, very happy. So, and I've been very happy with this Surface Pro 3. Of course, this is a 3 with an i5, and I don't know how much. I think maybe 8 gigabytes of RAM. I'm not exactly sure. I'd have to actually look that up. But, of course, it's, and I think it's a 256 SSD is what this Surface Pro 3 has. Let me see if I can. Okay, let me think here. This PC, let's see if it's in there. Let's go to properties. Okay, there we go. Windows 10 processor. Yeah, so I've got 8 gigabytes of RAM, the 64-bit Windows 10, i5 4300U CPU operating at 1.9 gigahertz to 2.5 gigahertz. Pen and touch support with 10 touch points. So that's what I have, and I've been very happy with this machine. Now, of course, the HP desktop machine that I have, it's an all-in-one at home, has an i7 desktop processor, and I think, I can't tell you exactly how much RAM it has. It's either 8 or 16, I really don't know. And then right before Christmas, I had it upgraded. I paid someone to upgrade it to a 1 terabyte SSD that I purchased from. I purchased it from Amazon, I believe. And I believe that's what I did. It could have came from Best Buy, but I think I purchased it from Amazon. Samsung, is the one he told me to get, and so that's what, the guy installed it, I paid him, and been very, very pleased with that machine, because it's just, of course it's super fast, boots fast, it screams, so very happy. With this Surface Pro 3, the performance, I don't ever find myself really lacking, wishing that the thing were faster. Now, while I was home, one of the things I did while I was home, I've got a friend that has a 27-inch iMac that's, at this point, several years old. The machine's still fine. It probably works as good as it, Well, of course, it's going to work just as well as it, hardware-wise, as it was when it was brand new, with the exception that it has slowed down over time because of operating system updates. You know, and this, I think it's probably has an i7. I don't remember exactly. I'd have to look and see what processor it has. It, you know, it's a, you know, it's a nice fast iMac with plenty of RAM that he purchased at the time, a 27-inch iMac. It's just a few years old, but it was getting really slow. And so I went over to his house and played around, you know, tried to figure out what was going on. Was able, his big problem, one of the problems he was having was Gmail wasn't working right. And so I ended up taking the, you know, and of course he's using the mail, the Apple Mail program, which I've had, you know, in the past. That's not the best mail client in the world. It can give you all kinds of, gave me all kinds of problems. If you, you know, you end up with, if you don't have much email, then it's no problem. But if you've got a lot of email, big, you know, even if it's IMAP, and then if you're using POP3, forget about it. It's going to mess up. It just, you know, because it just, I don't know. It seems to be a troublesome app. And so, but in any case, his Gmail is set up through that with IMAP. And so what I ended up doing was taking the Gmail account out and then putting, you know, kind of repopulating it back in, and then that solved that problem. Then you know, so there's some kind of a database problem with the mail app, and again, that seems to be, in my experience, that's a common thing to happen on a Mac. So then the other problem, the machine just seemed terribly slow. And so I realized that he had God knows how many icons saved to his desktop. You know, he had saved, you know, I don't know, I didn't count them, but they're, you know, a 27-inch iMac. He had a lot of icons on his, you know, on the desktop where he could see them. And, of course, that will really slow a machine down. Now, I've been told that it'll slow a Windows machine down, but it absolutely will slow a Mac down. And so I told him, and so I started kind of cleaning things up into folders, you know, because he had a bunch of, you know, just dozens and dozens and dozens of photographs. And so I started the process, and I told him, you need to finish this and just, you know, kind of tidy this whole desktop up. Put the photos into folders where you can, you know, you put them into folders, and then you can deal with them there. And so he reported back to me, and I went ahead and left, you know, and so he went ahead and did this later on. So he reported back to me that the machine had sped up considerably, but, you know, and I told him that if this were my iMac, I would buy a 1 terabyte SSD, and I would take it to the guy that I took it to in Fayetteville, Arkansas, Allied Computer Systems, or whatever the guy's name of his little shop is. It's a one-man shop. I would, if I owned that iMac, I would take that to that guy with a, you know, with a 1 terabyte hard drive that I'd buy from Amazon, and have him clone things over, and that would just, you know, really make that machine sing. But so I don't know if he's going to do that or not, but that's what I would do if I had that machine. But of course, at some point, Apple's going to obsolete that machine. They haven't yet, but they will. Give them time. They'll obsolete that machine with a new, you know, with an update, and then that'll be that. By the way, you know, sometime back, there was a magazine service, you know, it's kind of almost like Netflix for magazines, and I don't remember what it was called at this point. But, you know, I kind of ran across that again, and I kind of unsubscribed from it. Actually, what happened, my credit card information, you know, was out of date because I got a new debit card, and I didn't update it. And, so I just kind of let the thing go because, the deal didn't renew, and then I just thought, well, I'm not using this much anyway, so I'm going to let it go. So back late last month, I decided to look into that again, and I actually did a one-month subscription. Now they've renamed it. It's called Texture, T-E-X-T-U-R-E. And so I put that on my phone and did a 1 month subscription, or, you know, like the free thing, and I put my credit card information in there. So I opened the thing, you know, and I've been kind of reading that instead of like reading, you know, like if I'm eating lunch or whatever, instead of looking at news sites or even other internet sites, I've just been kind of, you know, browsing through magazines. Because most of the top magazines are in there. Well, I opened the app up today. I was eating and I opened that up, and down at the bottom it says something to the effect, well, here, let me grab the phone and I can tell you, I can read it verbatim. Let's see here. Okay, so I want to open up texture. There it is. So let's go back. Let's close. I want it to pop that up again, so let's try that again. This makes a great podcast, doesn't it? Now it's not going to do it. Isn't that interesting? So what it did before, it popped up this message saying texture is now Apple whatever. So I didn't realize it, but Apple had bought, you know, so it says goodbye texture. This is the texture website. Goodbye texture. Hello, Apple News Plus. Texture is ending. Continue reading your favorite magazines and so much more with Apple News Plus, including, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, but they don't really tell you, you know, are they going to drop Android or is this going to be Apple only? It says a new and improved reading experience on iPhone, iPad, and Mac. So what the hell does that mean? You know, what does that mean? I don't know. So, are they going to drop it? Because Apple, I didn't realize Apple owned texture now. That's probably when the name changed, because it used to be something else. Let's see if I can figure out what it used to be. It was something else, and then they changed the name of it. You know. That's da 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 da. Well, I don't know if it's going to tell me or not. Now, they sell that on Amazon. Yeah, okay, so it's still on Amazon, so maybe they'll keep the Android version. If they do, I'll continue to subscribe to it. But if not, we'll see. You know, they may, you know, because they did, after Apple bought it, they dropped the Windows app. There was a Windows app that, for Windows 10, that did texture, where you could read the magazines on a Windows computer. We're running Windows 10, but they dropped that. Excuse me, and they don't have a web support, so you can't, if you have a texture account, you can't view magazines in a web, you know, like on a website, on their website. They don't support that. You have to have an app. So they may be doing this, you know, so if they don't support Android, then, you know, too bad, you know, goodbye, you know, so we'll see what happens, so I don't know. I may, you know, may just have to cancel it and that'll be that. So, you know, and it's hard to say whether the thing was that, whatever it was called, I don't know. It used to be called something else. Maybe I can ask Google and it'll tell me. Let's see here. What did the texture app used to be called? Let's see. Next Issue. It was called, because now it's popping up in Wikipedia. It was known as Next Issue. So they have access to, you pay your monthly fee, $9.99, and you got access to over 200 magazine publications. So it's a great idea that there doesn't seem to be any competition to them, so I don't know that they were even making money. So it may not have been sustainable to start with, and then, now Apple bought them a number of months ago, and so we'll see what happens. But it if they keep it, then, it does make a nice alternative to, kind of reading websites, because magazines typically are more, they have to be more well-written because they're actually trying to sell something. They're selling their writing as opposed, and their they're selling their, kind of presentation on paper, or they have, unless it's just strictly a digital magazine. But they're trying to sell that versus, on a newsstand to make it really appealing, as opposed to, where somebody's actually going to buy the issue or subscribe to it, the physical magazine, versus, here's a website, and then they pop up with some goofy ad that covers the screen or whatever. And that's just, those ads seem to be becoming more and more and more obnoxious. They may let you read a little while, and then all of a sudden the thing creeps across, or, it's just ridiculous. And so whenever that happens, I just immediately click off of the whatever it was, whatever the website was, and that's that. So really poor experience. So we'll see what happens with Texture. They may or may not continue with it, and if they drop the Android support, then I'm going to drop my support for Apple. Sorry, I've already dropped it for the, as far as Macs go and what have you. Done with it. Don't miss it. So, we'll see what they do with this magazine app. So, anyway, I think I'm going to be bringing this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.